It's time to get behind the mission with the United Way of the Tananaw Valley on KFAR Radio, promoting all of our incredible nonprofit organizations that truly make Fairbanks the Golden Heart City. And now, let's get behind the mission.
Hello, hello, Interior Alaska. Thank you so much for joining in. This is Behind the Mission with the United Way of the Tananaw Valley.
Sure is.
And it is. My name is Sarah Hollister. I'm here with my work bestie.
Ride or die. Work hubby.
Katie Yarrow.
And every week we get together with one of our over 600.
Yeah.
600.
We got schooled hard a couple weeks ago.
If you saw that show. Heard that show.
News have us die hard.
Yeah.
600 plus nonprofits per 4 acre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the interior alone. We're not talking statewide. Mm-hmm. We're not talking nationwide. We're talking interior Alaska. 600 plus nonprofit organizations.
And each of these groups, you know, you might think you know them, but they just do so much for our community and make it so whole. And so we've just loved this platform of being able to share their stories and share their missions and get the public a little more informed about them.
Involved, aware, educated even.
And we have a group right now today who,
this is
top
the,
of mind
the most,
right now.
The most full our studio has ever been.
Yes, we have three people. But we have the Fairbanks Climate Action Coalition here today. You guys can say
welcome.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hello. You can say hi.
Thanks for having us.
We've got Aurora Bowers, who's the communication manager.
Hello.
Hello. We've got Cass Nicely, who's a volunteer.
We do have more than one volunteer.
Yes.
But we'll say
the only one.
She's the representative of all the volunteers today.
Let's call her the number one volunteer because she's here in the office.
And Lee, how do I say your last name?
Ayo.
Ayo. That's what it looks like.
Uh-huh.
And he's the
Energy Democracy Organizer.
Yes.
See, these are great titles.
Yeah, we need some good titles. Thank you guys for being here so much today.
Yes. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Fairbanks Climate Action Coalition, you know, what is your mission? What do you guys
see? For those that don't know,
We are an organization here in Interior Alaska that organizes our community members to address the impacts of the changing climate that we're seeing here locally and across the state. We have 4 different active working groups right now. So we're really volunteer-driven, and so the priorities of our volunteers are what set our priorities as an organization. So we have a policy and politics working group that works at the borough level, mostly working on local policy issues related to climate action. So they're, you know, involved in getting people involved in the climate action plan process a couple years ago. So they do other things like that of getting climate policy at the local level. We have our Keep It in the Ground working group that focuses on getting legislation passed to tax oil and gas corporations. Right now there's no corporate income tax for oil and gas corporations in the state, you know, like there are for other businesses that all of these other businesses have to pay. So we think that oil and gas companies should pay their fair share. And so that's what that working group is focused on. And then we have an interfaith working group that works on organizing with our local faith communities. It's kind of based around the idea that like pretty much all faith communities have some sort of call for care for creation or earth stewardship. And so it's really like holding faith communities locally to that, that call, and getting together with local faith communities and working on that level on climate issues. And then, last but not least, we have our renewable energy working group, which Cass is a representative of. I don't know if you want to talk about what you guys do.
Sure, we largely try to get more renewable energy on the grid. You know, hence the name Renewable Energy Working Group. Mostly because, you know, renewable energy is cheaper, and long term, it's better for all of us. Like, I'm definitely one of those hippy-dippy types, but I'm mostly involved with FCAC for pragmatic reasons. Yeah. Like, we depend on the environment, and right now there are microplastics in all of us because we've been kind of foolish with how we've been behaving.
Not doing so great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I want to do whatever I can to help Fairbanks be better for all of us. You know, cleaner air, cleaner water, cheaper electricity, all that kind of stuff.
Heck yeah.
Very nice.
We love to see it.
So how did the Fairbanks Climate Action Coalition start? What is the history there?
Well, this is our 10-year anniversary this year, so pretty stoked about that. We started in 2015. We were actually just talking to one of the founding members. There's a lot of folks that were involved in 2015 that are still involved now, and he was talking about how he was like, yeah, it was just kind of a lot of church ladies that got together and decided we need to do something about the climate. And it really kind of was. I mean, that was a core group. There's a lot of other folks that kind of after that first meeting really, you know, it grew very quickly. But there were sort of two kind of primary motivators. One was there was the Paris climate talks happening that year. And, you know, there's a lot of folks in the interior that got together and felt like we really wanted to make sure that our needs were represented in that and that we were, you know, speaking out on these issues locally. So it was clear that this is something that we care about here and that, you know, we have specific needs when it comes to our changing climate. And then the other one is that Pope Francis put out this urgent call for climate action. And so that was, I think, one of the motivators for the quote-unquote church ladies, our good Quaker folks who've been involved from the beginning.
I love that it's church ladies that got this started.
I know.
Yeah, I like the history. It's yeah. Women talking.
And I've never heard
Sarah, we never talk. Yeah. Women hardly ever talk.
And women get stuff done.
We get stuff done, yeah. So, yeah. But so that's kind of the history, yeah.
But that's one of the things I love about this show. Like, if anybody knows of your organization or was just hearing about your organization, who's going to think that that's where it started or that that was a part of the work you guys do? So
yeah, it's, you know, a it's really true that big part of the work. Yeah. Like that kind of grounding I feel like has kind of informed a lot of what we do in terms of there being this like moral and spiritual imperative to take action on climate.
And it's not just, you know, it's not just an opinion. We're not just saying the science shows. We're saying, okay, your faith plays a role here.
Mm-hmm.
If you actually believe this, then
yeah,
you are called to take care of the earth.
Yeah, and if our interfaith organizer, Molly, were here, who just got ordained, by the way, we're excited about this.
Molly.
Yeah, she would talk about how, you know, we really, like, people of faith, it's important to not have that be separate from our work in the world, that, like, those two things are inextricably linked. And, you know, I think there's, like, people of faith who feel uncomfortable talking about things like climate change or climate action and then vice versa. And so that's kind of one of her big things and one of the Interfaith Working Group's big issues is like bringing those two things together and having that be something that can be addressed in like a holistic way.
And if you are just tuning in, we are talking to the Fairbanks Climate Action Coalition, who's actually talking about how our faith community is involved in this coalition and how part of that stewardship is taking care of the earth.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, very, very cool. So what does that look like in real life? So you have these kind of work groups. What does that equal out to?
Yeah, I wonder if maybe Lee or Cass, you guys want to talk about the work you all are doing right now, since that is very pertinent.
Yeah, well, a lot of it right now is centered around Golden Valley Electric Association mm-hmm. and working to bring wind power onto our grid. 20% of Alaska's energy already comes from renewable energies, mainly in the form of hydroelectricity, wind power, and solar. And GVA right now is in negotiations to bring on some more wind power. It'd bring on 36 megawatts of wind power onto our grid, which is the equivalent of Pogo and Fort Knox combined. So
wow.
We'd have a significant amount more to take care of those high loads in the winter when everyone is using a lot mm-hmm. of electricity all at once.
Mm-hmm.
GVA, for the last year, along with a few other co-ops across the state, have been warning of implementing rolling blackouts because our load gets too high, the grid can't accommodate it. So a rolling blackout midwinter would be, you know, that could be devastating for a lot of people. So right now, Cass and I and the rest of the working group are trying to push GVA to sign that wind agreement down in Delta.
Ah, I was going to ask, is it in Delta, where you're going to have the...
would be the wind farm?
Yeah. And how many does that... do you know how many towers that would get? Is that like a huge amount?
That is a great question. Yeah.
We will ask.
Yeah, we'll have to ask. Yeah. But yeah, the you know, this fact that we're facing the potential of rolling blackouts is, you know, there's a number of factors, but a really big factor is the fact that we have this energy crisis from the lack of power coming up from gas in Cook Inlet. And so, you know, the last few years, Hilcorp, the primary producer of oil and gas down there, has warned that they won't be able to renew contracts with the local energy utilities. So those contracts have been running out over the last few years. And I think, like, basically, I don't know if it's the last one runs out, but by 2027 is when that gas crisis will be, like, very, very, you know, real statewide. And if we don't bring on new energy before then, we'll have to think about things like importing natural gas from out of state. And so, GVA has not been able to consistently get power up from South Central, from that Cook Inlet gas power, since 2024. And so there's now kind of a hole in our energy supply. And yeah, so we need a way to fill that quickly. And wind is really the cheapest and fastest way to get new energy online quickly. And so we just really can't afford to drag our feet on these things, because we need to fill that gap now.
And a part of that is they've got potential loan funding from the government, like hundreds of millions of dollars. And some of these come with like up to 50% forgiveness for the loans if the project doesn't turn out the way that it's projected to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, this is a big opportunity for us to, like, swing big and set us up for cheap electricity for a long time.
Really?
But we have to act. And GVA seems to be having some, like, difficulty getting into that.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so with the budget reconciliation bill this summer, that basically kind of clawed back some of the funding that GVA was expecting to be able to utilize for these wind projects. And they were looking at actually a lot more ambitious plans for potentially bringing on more wind. And are probably looking at having to scale that back and really get on a quicker timeline for bringing on Delta Wind, or else the funds that were there for that project won't be there anymore. So definitely has increased urgency a lot.
Wow, this is interesting stuff. Hang with us. We are going for a quick break, but we will be back with the Fairbanks Climate Action Coalition.
Behind the Mission with the United Way of the Tanana Valley. We'll continue after this short break on KFAR Radio.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah. Sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
The United Way of the Tanana Valley's mission is to improve the lives of every person by mobilizing the caring power of our community. We inspire others to join us in supporting our local nonprofits that serve our friends and neighbors by providing life-changing services here in Interior Alaska. To learn more about how you can give, advocate, and volunteer with us, please contact our office at 907-452-7211 or go to our website at unitedwaytananavalley.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m., Behind the Mission with the United Way at 11:30, followed by Sensible Health Solutions with White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the Archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Behind the Mission with the United Way of the Tananaw Valley. And now, let's get behind the mission.
Welcome back, Fairbanks.
Welcome
Fox,
back.
Fox, Delta.
North Pole.
North Pole.
Salt
Esther.
Yeah.
all of Interior Alaska.
This is Behind the Mission with the United Way of the Tananaw Valley. If you are just tuning in, you know, every week we touch base with one of our many local nonprofits. And today we've got Fairbanks Climate Action Coalition, a few people in that group. We've got three people here joining us to talk all about, you know, what they're doing and at such a time when we all see the climate is changing. We all see what's happening. We all know what's happening in Western Alaska. It's no surprise. But you folks are working on it. You folks are figuring stuff out. We were talking about
I was going to say, we were talking off air, and I think it's important to point out that we were talking about bringing on, like advocating with GVEA to bring on a wind farm from Delta onto the grid to help supplement power, to help prevent rolling blackouts. Mm-hmm. And I think it's worth noting that we're not advocating to build a wind farm. We are advocating for an existing wind farm to come on the grid and help diversify that energy source.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Correct.
Cool. Yeah, and it's, you know, it is like really kind of low risk. It's just about buying new energy.
Yeah.
And not even really new. Buying existing energy so that, you know, we can have more energy on our
supplement, diversify. All diversifying does is it adds security. It adds security.
More safety.
Yeah.
And the more we can, you know, like source power locally, the better. I think that is like a value that's important to a lot of us, is making sure that we are secure in the resources that we have here in our community and don't have to depend on like outside oil and gas developers or, you know, importing fuel from foreign countries or whatever. So there's so many benefits to renewables. And I think that's one that's really important to me, is like locally sourced energy.
And Alaska likes that. Alaska likes their independence.
We do.
Like to be self-sufficient.
We love it.
And, you know, and we tote. Like, Alaska is a resource state, but you have to remember that renewable resources are resources.
And I actually just learned a statistic that Alaska has renewable resources that is equal to 14 times the need of the entire country.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. We love this.
So there's like,
about that.
we're a energy state, and that doesn't just mean oil and gas. There is a lot more that's included in that.
Yep.
Oh, that's so cool.
I do know that Cook Inlet alone, if we're able to harness the tidal energy, can power all of Alaska and part of the Pacific Northwest.
Just
that one source of energy.
Wow.
And I've heard, we're just going with other statistics, Alaska 20 times over at our peak energy need, which is just, it's so cool to think, you know. And then if we're talking about, if we get into like green hydrogen, there's ways to package that energy and still be an energy exporter, which is really exciting.
Yeah. That is. I think a lot of ears are perking up for that.
Yeah.
And then just to go back a little bit to something Katie said about diversifying energy, GVEA, the board, has said that. Like, they have communicated to the public at one of their board meetings that a big part of why our electricity is so expensive is because we are so over-dependent on fossil fuels. And so finding any way to diversify is going to help us with those electricity prices.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think wind is always the same price. It's like once you get the structure in, then you're gaining that, whereas you're always going to pay so much dollar for fossil fuels.
And then, of course, you know, we call it renewable energy, but I don't know if we're always thinking about exactly what that means. Like, that is a energy source that is ours forever. We don't have, you know, with oil and gas, like, that's a finite resource. That's going away. And so this is a resource that can be ours for generations to come. And I think that's something that's, like, we all, you know, want to see this community and this state be a place that our children and grandchildren can live and thrive the way we have and like enjoy the natural environment. And so being able to have those resources that both are, you know, clean and make sure we have healthy air and stuff like that, and are a resource that will continue to provide the energy we need is like, you know, I think that's something we can all get behind.
Well, and it's, you know, we all know it's, you know, when you say oil and gas, it's going to run out. It will. So think about 500 years from now. Think about our children, you know, 500 years from now and all the generations that come and the infrastructure that you guys want to build with the wind towers and such is going to benefit them the most, even more than us, because we do have access to this oil and gas right now. But how, you know, how many more generations do we have that? And so...
We're thinking ahead.
Well, and I think that's like one of the big things, right? Like even if you're listening to this and you're like, ah, I don't believe in this, or I don't buy this, or I know better, you know, I worked for the Interior Gas Utility for a year. Like I know that we have plenty of natural gas, but one thing that Alaska has failed to do, and part of the reason that the work that you guys are doing is so important, is we do have to think about the future. How behind is Alaska in our infrastructure, in everything that we do? We can't afford to keep staying behind. We have to think about the future. We have to diversify. We have to, you know that some of these resources will go away. Some of these resources may be cleaner, and that can be a bridge to what we're building now and what we're aiming for. So you guys are advocating for like what we need to implement now to be able to expand that in the future when it's the only option.
Yeah, and that's a good point too. Like we're definitely not advocating being like turn off the diesel generators right now. Everybody just go see if you can find some renewables. Like
right?
Alive.
We're talking about making sure that we plan ahead now so that we don't get into a situation like that in the future, that we are able to continue to live our comfortable lives, you know, gradually bringing on more and more renewables so that, we are prepared for the future and for our, kids and grandkids. Yeah.
And this is what I always say, right? I'm like, you can choose the ways that you can be uncomfortable while you go through changes and expansions, or, you know, or we can be forcibly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Which way do you want to do it? Which way do you want to do this? The easy way or the hard way?
Yeah. And I think the other thing is like, you know, no matter what we think about what kind of energy we should be using, the rest of the world is moving to renewable energy. Yes. They're trying to meet these international agreements. And so that's one of the reasons why, you know, a lot of our politicians are trying to get this gas line through, but there are no buyers for it. There's a lot of, you know, other countries have like signed these non-binding agreements, which have been signed for decades, you know, and none of them have actually produced a pipeline. And the reason nobody is signing a binding agreement is because they're moving away from these energy sources. And so, you know, if we aren't doing the same thing, then we're going to get left behind.
Mm-hmm. Or we're going to have to catch up really fast.
And that's the hard way.
That's painful, too.
Yeah, we don't want that.
All right, so we talked about Delta Wind Farm. What else, what other stuff you guys want to touch on some of your working groups?
So we have, we've talked about some of the stuff that the Renewable Energy Working Group is doing. We can maybe get into a little bit more of that later, too. We have three other active working groups, like we talked about earlier. And so the Policy and Politics Working Group, they were just involved in energy use tracking resolution at the borough assembly level to just track the energy that is being used in borough facilities. And so that'll help, figure out what needs to be done as far as using less energy. So that's one aspect of the climate action plan. So the climate action plan, of course, was just a plan. That was an actual like law. So now it's like going in and looking at what are kind of the priorities within that we want to focus on. So that working group is going to be doing some listening sessions in the community to figure out what people's priorities are, because there's all sorts of things that could be done with that. It could be, you know, focusing on like food storage facilities or ensuring that sidewalks are kept clear in times of heavier snow, or we have more capacity to be able to do snow removal. There's just like all sorts of like little pieces within that we can do.
Would mass transit, like improvements like the bus system and stuff like that, fall under POPO?
Yes, definitely. We have little acronyms. Yeah. Policy and Politics Working Group is POPO. Yeah. So definitely transit. That was part of the climate action plan. So, you know, if you're interested in getting involved in like where those priorities are going, come out to one of the listening sessions. And then I know the Renewable Energy Working Group, you guys are actually also doing some listening sessions. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, we are. So November 17th, 18th, and 19th, we'll be holding some listening sessions to address concerns around GVEA. Specifically, with the rate case that GVEA is filing right now with the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, they've announced that the rates will be increasing, and they were holding some listening sessions the last few weeks to address some concerns, but we feel like it would be a really good idea to be able to get into kind of the nitty-gritty of that. They also have some, well, their board elections are coming up, so it's going to be a really great chance for people to get involved and get out and vote and just get some real change done in the community.
And Lee, I wonder, do you want to talk about what a rate case is?
Oh, that is a whole rabbit trail. it's filed every few years. GVA hasn't been able to file one since COVID. Everything was kind of put on pause. So the rates that normally would have increased or decreased, but they would have been kept kind of at a level. Mm-hmm. They would have been, you know, modified as needed. Haven't really been able to be changed. So they're filing now for the last 5 years. And it's basically a chance for GVA to say, here's where we're at with our rates, and this is where we need to be with our rates. And the RCA can, you know, either approve or deny it. It's quite a long process.
What's the RCA?
The Regulatory Commission of Alaska. Yeah, so they oversee all of the utility co-ops here in Alaska.
And are we expecting that the rates would go up with the rate case?
In the last session that GVA held here at the library, they did indicate that the rates would be going up temporarily until the rate case is looked over by the RCA. And then depending on, you know, what they say, they will either pay back the increased difference from the rates or we'll just keep paying the same rate.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say, so when we're talking about like what they would be, like are we, after the rate case, we'd be finding out like what's equitable or, you know, what are we basing this off of? Because like the rates are what they are. And like you said, they've been somewhat, I guess, what would you say, unregulated? And that's why we do the rate case. But when they do the rate case, what are they looking at and what are they adjusting based upon?
Yeah, so the RCA will look at whether they're equitable and just in relation.
The Regulatory Commission of Alaska.
The Regulatory Commission of Alaska will look at whether they're equitable and just.
Yeah. So I think we have a couple minutes left. And, you know, we do want to say, like, we interviewed GVA. We're like, GVA's huge supporters of us. And this is not here attacking. This is educational and, you know, finding out. Because they are a co-op. We all have a voice.
Yeah,
we all have ownership in here, right?
Part
and that's
of
what
GVA.
We were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
we love
like, oddly enough, October is co-op month and climate action month together.
Fitting.
It's almost like united is the way.
Yes.
So we're just saying, let everybody have their voice heard. And we appreciate everybody being here educating. If you guys can sum up in 2 minutes, why is the work you do important and how can people get in touch and be involved if they want to help?
Well, the work is important because we are facing these energy shortages and, you know, what we need to do is bring on new energy as quickly as possible. And wind right now here in the interior is the fastest and the cheapest way to do that. So we want to bring energy rates down. We want to have enough energy for the community so that we aren't facing rolling blackouts. And we want to have clean power that is renewable that we can continue to use for generations. So if you want to get involved in that, I don't know, Lee and Cass, do you want to talk about getting involved?
So coming up is our 10th anniversary for FCAC. We're really excited about it. And November 8th, we're going to be having a get together. So if y'all would like to come join us and learn more, maybe get some free food, Please.
Free live music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My band is playing.
November 8th, little place shout and time. Out.
Yep. Yeah,
place and time.
Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Fairbanks, 6 to 9 p.m. And you can also check out our website, fbxclimateaction.org. You can look at our working groups and our work there.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Interior Alaska, we'll talk at you next time.
Talk at you next week.
You have been listening to Behind the Mission with the United Way of the Tanana Valley. To listen back to this or any of our other local programs, simply click on the archives page at kfarradio.com. Behind the Mission has been a presentation of the United Way and Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station.